In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The next lecture, the second lecture, about the truth. Because many of you are preachers, and we are preaching the truth. So we need to revise what is the meaning of the truth. What are the content of our message preaching to everyone? Remember, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." All people along their life ask, "What is truth? Where is the truth?" But many of them ask the question and then went out. They do not stay to listen to the truth. They do not wait to know the truth. They just ask. They do not want to know the real truth. The simplest answer to what is truth is what the Lord said, "I am the truth. I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I want to tell you that we preachers sometimes do speak about many things, about sin, about tradition, about rituals, about customs, but we do not speak enough about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Also, the Lord used to say, "Most assuredly," in the Greek language, "most assuredly," it's like, "This is the truth." So when you listen to al-haq, al-haq, this is an Arabic, which usually translated into English, "most assuredly," but in Greek it means, "I'm telling you the truth." Like in this one, "I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me had everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Al-haq, al-haq, "I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." All verses started by al-haq, al-haq, should be considered very much in our preaching, because these are the pillars of the truth. Like in John chapter 3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Who knows the truth? Who is going to know the truth? Who is the simplest or the target to know the truth? In Matthew chapter 11, "That time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things," which are the truth, "from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babies." So, the real truth is not for the wise, is not for the intelligent, for the smart people, for the rich, for the university people. Rather, it's for the simplest people, for the babies. That's very much different from any science, any other religion. We need not to read many books to know God, but we need to pray to know God. Let me give you an example. If I bring a child of 3 or 4 years old and I put him on this stage and I ask him, "Can you please show me your father from this man?" Will he know his father? Yes. He will say, "This man is my father." Then I'll start asking him many questions. "Do you know how much your father, how much money he has?" He will say, "No." "Do you know where is the place of the work of your father?" "No." "Do you know what is the eating of your father?" "No." "No, no." All the questions are not answered by the child. But this child knows his father very much. He knows nothing about him, but he knows him. One saint said once, "You pray, then you know God." One of the saints of the church said once, "If you pray good, then you know God." When you say we know the truth, it does not mean that we know all the truth, because all the truth could never be known by the mind of a man. That's why St. Paul said, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part." Look to this. "Now I know in part, but then I shall not know just as I also am known." How do we know the truth? Was written in Matthew 11, after the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. So the knowledge of God is within the Father and the Son," within God Himself. "And the one to whom the Son will to reveal Him." So, the only way to know God, according to the Orthodox teaching, is by revelation. Christ revealed the truth. We are not making the truth by ourselves. We accept the truth revealed by Jesus. In other religions, they made the truth. They invent the truth. Their truths are man-made. But our truth is God's truth. It's God-made truth. So we just accept the truth as revealed. We do not invent the truth. As also said by the Lord, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this." No flesh and blood can reveal the truth. "But my Father who is in heaven." So all with the truth comes from above, not from down, not from the earth, from heaven. The complete truth, the only one who knows the truth, God. Our God is the truth Himself, and we accept His revelation. Another verse in the letter of Corinthians, "God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Look to this. In Matthew 11, He said revelation through the Son. In Matthew 16, revelation by the Father. In this verse, revelation through the Spirit. So Trinity, the Holy Trinity, are revealing the truth. The Father, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Another important point, to whom the truth was revealed in the Old Testament and the New Testament. St. Peter was telling us, "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them," he was talking about the prophets of the Old Testament, "was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that would follow. To them it was revealed," again the same word, "that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you. Through those who have preached the gospel," now the stage of apostles, "to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into." I just want to tell you that the prophets in the Old Testament are the first to accept the revelation, and the apostles in the New Testament are the first to accept the revelation, and they, the prophets and the apostles, are proclaiming the truth, are telling us the truth. That's why we consider the whole Bible as the book of truth, written by the Holy Spirit who knows all the truth, through the prophets and the apostles. That's why it's only one book written by the guidance of the Holy Spirit through the prophets in the Old Testament and the apostles in the New Testament. Another verse, "The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed." So the mystery of God, God was the secret, was hidden secret. Nobody can understand or can know God before. but revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ. The truth is Christ. In you, the hope of glory. He means that the mystery of God now revealed through the saints even to the Gentiles. And if they accept the truth, Christ will be in them by the Holy Spirit, and this will give them the eternal life. Now we are going to tell you a few minutes about the stages of this revelation. This kind of truth revelation, divine revelation, had passed into stages, not to complete the truth originally complete, but the revelation ran into stages. The first stage of revelation, God was revealing Himself in the nature. As said in the Psalm, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handwork. Also, St. Paul said, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His mystery, His character, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Although everyone can see the nature, can see the beautiful nature, but people did not see God's behind the nature. People made idols. People went in their stupidity to reject the truth and the revelation of the nature. God started to reveal Himself through the prophets, through the Bible. It's the second stage. God spoke the truth through His men. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. He spoke by the prophets to the fathers, the early generations. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So no prophet would say a single word without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They are not allowed to put the truth they see. They had to reveal the truth by the Spirit. So, the nature speaks about God. The man image speaks about God. The conscience of a man speaks about God. The prophet speaks about God. And God is the only truth. But men rejected all these and went into idolatry, and they worship idols. That's why God came to our land to reveal the truth completely. This is the third stage and the complete stage and the final stage of revelation. And the Word, the Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look to John the Baptist, what he said about Christ. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said. Remember, John the Baptist considered as a prophet. So he was telling the truth as a prophet, saying, God is coming, the truth is coming. Then he said, He who comes after me. So John the Baptist was a prophet witnessing to the truth, and also he saw the truth himself. He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. See, in this verse, he said before me, and then he said after me. Before me, expressing His divine nature, and after me, expressing His human nature. Another common question to finish, can the truth be relative or variable? Somebody is saying nowadays in the Western countries, truth is something variable, it's relative. Nobody can know it. You may be right, and others also may be right. This philosophy is not accepted even by logic, because is there God or there is no God? Is Christ God or Christ is not God? Is Christianity the truth or others are the truth? So you can never put things together. It's like saying white and black. No, truth is one and complete, and it's not relative, it's not variable. Jesus said to the Jews, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." In this passage, I want to mention one thing, that there is truth and lies everywhere. You either stick to the truth or you are living in a lie, whatever this lie looks like. I want to finish. I'll tell you how our church is expressing the truth in a very simple way. Our kids, one of the very early Coptic songs, they know, they learn what we call Bishafa'at Qaddisa Maryam, through the intercession of the Theotokos, Saint Mary. O Lord, grant us the forgiveness of our sins. This is the song. I'm putting now a song from the church to tell you how the Orthodox song express all the truth in a simple way. We worship you, O Christ, with your good Father and the Holy Spirit, for you have come and saved us, a mercy of peace and a sacrifice of praise. So, in this song you can see the words through the intercession means that we believe in pleading, intercession, in receiving help and care of the saints. The word Theotokos means that we believe in the incarnation, because now she is the mother of God. Christ is God and she is his mother. That means that we believe in incarnation. Christ became man through the birth from his mother, Saint Mary. By saying Saint Mary, this means that we believe in the holiness status of Saint Mary, that we, men, human beings, can be saints by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray in the same song saying, O Lord, this means that we believe in one God. We pray, grant us, this means that we believe in the grace, in the gift, in the role of God in our salvation. We pray, grant us the forgiveness of our sins, that we believe in the salvation and forgiveness through Christ. Then we pray in the same song saying, we worship you, O Christ. By saying, worship you, O Christ, then we mean that Christ is God. We believe him as God and we worship him. With your good Father, so we believe in the truth that the unseen Father, the source of divine nature, we cannot see him by our eyes, we could see his Son. And the Holy Spirit, we're still singing, we're still praying as kids, and the Holy Spirit, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father and the Son. Then we pray this all in the same little song. For you have come and saved us, that we sing, we pray saying that we believe in the incarnation for redemption. He came just to save us for redemption and salvation. We end this Coptic song by saying, mercy of peace. So we believe in mercy and we accept peace. We sing this prayer inside the liturgy of Eucharist, and that's why it ends with the word sacrifice of praise. So we believe in true body and blood. This is the sacrifice of faith. This is the sacrifice of Eucharist. So the talent of the Orthodox Church is to put the truth inside the songs, everyone praying the songs and saying the truth simply. Glory to God. Amen.